Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do.' And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him.' And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, Whatever comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Let me just pray before Phil comes up here. Father, as we spend time to look at your word now, I pray you would speak to us, and Father, give us ears to listen and hearts that take in what is said, Lord God. Help us to see what Jesus means through his speech here. And Father, help us to apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Phil.
Thanks, Glenn. And can I add my welcome, especially if it's your first time with us. We're usually a few more than this, I think. I wonder if it's summer and people start going away. Is that right? Well, no, maybe
or
not.
Just the rain.
Or just the rain. Even the slightest drizzle. Good. So keep your passage, chapter 7, open. We've called this series The Real Jesus. And The Real Jesus is full of surprises. We've just been going through Mark's Gospel. And today's passage is no exception. I don't think people realise that Jesus said what he said in today's passage. I think if you summarise within one word what the scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying to us here, it is exposure. And Jesus exposes two things. He exposes the truth about religion and the truth about us. He cuts to the heart of who we are. It does not make for comfortable reading. It leaves us exposed. I want you to imagine something. It's perhaps not the happiest picture for a Wednesday afternoon, but we're dealing with sober truths. And I think it gets to the heart of what Jesus is doing here for us as we read his words. Imagine somebody with leprosy all over. You may have seen pictures of people with leprosy all over a leper actually has come to Jesus by this stage, and he had many dealings with them. Now, leprosy was incurable in Jesus' day, but often bandages would be wrapped around. So I just want you to imagine that this person, his head and toe, wrapped head to toe in bandages, and the bandage has no power to heal the disease, right? It simply covers it over. That bandage is what we all put over ourselves in one way or another, spiritually. The bandage is called religion. It is man-made traditions, whole bodies of thought and practice. We may choose one, we may choose another. Through these words, it's as if Jesus, the great and good doctor, gently takes the bandage off and says, it's useless. And leaves us at the end of our section exposed to our true state, our true disease. Do you see that? Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Two things that Jesus exposes here. Number one, the truth about religion. Number two, the truth about ourselves. We'll start with the truth about religion. That's verses 1 to 13. Does anyone remember the adverts from the 90s? Maybe this is a generational thing. Yesterday, there was one or two nods of heads. But do you remember Ronsil does exactly what it says on the tin? Yeah, we've got exactly the right generation there, nodding. It was paint, the advert, you know, it stuck with me for 25 years. You know, Ronsil does exactly what it says on the tin. In other words, paint stuff. You might say of this passage, religion does exactly the opposite of what it says on the tin. Let's have a look at verse 6. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Now, this is incredible words. The Jewish Messiah came and declared Judaism to be pure hypocrisy. The Judaism of his day, the Judaism of today. It says it's about honoring God. Verse 6, these people honors me with their lips. But actually it's about rejecting God. Now, if this is true of Judaism, whose traditions at least flowed out from the Old Testament scriptures, right? Well then, every and any man-made religion that is not the word of God, the Bible, it is true. I want us to notice one word in verse 9. Jesus says, it is a fine way that you have. You see that? A fine way. Now that word is the same word for well or good. It's used in every other context. It's about you do this well, you do this good, you do this well. It can also mean splendidly. How splendidly you reject the word of God, Jesus says. It's almost as if he's being sarcastic. What an impressive way you have invented to reject God. You have a fine way of doing it. Looks so right. Looks so godly. So holy. But actually, religions provide a clever way of rejecting God's word. How can you say that? Just read on with me. He gives this example of Korban. He says, verse 10, Moses said, in other words, the word of God said, honor your father and your mother. That was one of the commandments. And whoever reviles his father or mother must surely die. But you say, verse 11, if a man tells his mother or father, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given from God. Now, their tradition of Korban was the practice that somebody could declare their property to be devoted to God. This is God's. And carry on using it for themselves. Looking very sincere while neglecting to love and support their parents, for example. That was what Korban in practice did. Now, can you see that as a perfectly chosen example to illustrate his point? He says, they honour me with their lips. How good that sounds. It's devoted to God. Korban. You can imagine the people talking about these wonderful traditions that have been built on, and improved the word of God, that complement it. But look what Jesus says in verse 12. Then you no longer commit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. Their religious traditions look so good. But look what it does to God's word. It makes it void. We don't care. We don't really care about God. Interesting, how they treat God's word is how they treat God in Jesus' eyes. A fine-looking, sophisticated, refined, respectable, but thin cover for rejecting God. That is religion. That was Judaism. It is Judaism. But that is every man-made religion. It is true of every religion we make up for ourselves. I've got just a couple of examples here. I've got my Quran. I turn to Surah 4:171. O people of the scripture, do not exaggerate in your religion, nor utter anything concerning Allah, excepting the truth. The Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of Allah, and his word which he conveyed to Mary in a spirit and a spirit from him. So, believe in Allah and his messengers. Say not three. Allah is only one God. Far be it removed from him. His majesty to have a son. What a fine looking way of rejecting the word of God, the gospel. Sounds so honouring to God. This book here is called, I was given it by a friend, called Living Buddha, Living Christ. And says this. It's basically Buddhism, but claiming that Buddhism and Christianity are kind of the same thing. He says, our true home is in the present moment. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth in the present moment. It's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of practice. We need to bring our body and mind into the present moment, and we will touch what is refreshing, healing, and wondrous. And he talks about touching the Holy Spirit. What a fine way, lovely sounding way, of rejecting Jesus as the one true Son of God in whom you must put your faith. Why do we do it? Well, I think the answer is that ever since the fall, Genesis 3, we have always loved to worship God on our own terms because we love to be in charge. But look at verse 7. In vain do they worship me. They think that they're worshipping God, but it is vain. The issue is not that they don't believe in God, neither is it that they don't think God is important in some way. Most religions do. The issue is that they have defined how God should be worshipped, not according to what he says in his word, but according to what we have decided. The sort of God we think he should be. We've learned to dress up that old rebellion, Genesis 3, in holy clothes of religion. We've learned to reject God in a fine, sophisticated way. But God sees through the mask. Jesus saw through the mask. Think of our secular religion, as some have described it, I think rightly, a secular religion. It is respectable and sophisticated, is it not? There are strong moral values, many of which are commendable. equality, protection of the weak, just like the Judaism of Jesus' day would have been respectable. Rejecting the gospel. People talk about many hundreds of man-made religions, or many hundreds of religions. Which one should I believe? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. Not in the way we think. They're not roads up the same mountain. They're all roads away from the same mountain. Roads away from God and his word. But we fool no one but ourselves as we walk in our holy clothes away from God. God sees through every man-made religion. And so why does Jesus tell us this? Obvious, isn't it? Run a mile from religion. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Run a mile from man-made religion and run to him. Well, secondly, the truth about ourselves, 14 to 23, because he goes deeper to expose the truth about us. Just look at verse 14 with me. He called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." Now, Jesus doesn't, in Mark, doesn't flag up what he's going to say like that very often. In fact, I think this is probably the biggest flag up. Listen, understand. Nobody realizes, nobody believes this. Listen up, all humanity. There is nothing outside a person that going into him can defile him. That word defile, that is make you unclean before a holy God. But it is the things that come out of a person that are what defile him. The point is that their religious rituals misplaced the problem. They thought the problem was on the outside. That's why all of the furious washing. Do you see that in verse 3? The Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly. We're not just talking about, you know, the sort of flick under the tap that we're all used to, or at least I'm used to. Proper washing and all the way up to the elbows, and then washing cups and pots and vessels and furious washing, washing, washing. Jesus says, listen up, this is what you need to grasp. The problem is not out there. It's inside us. Don't you understand? Verse 17, his disciples come and ask him about the parable, and then he says, almost in frustration, are you also without understanding? As if this is obvious if you think about it. Verse 18. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Now, the food laws in the Old Testament, we can't go there now, we don't have time. Don't eat certain things. This was the law of Moses. Don't touch a carcass. They make you unclean. Jesus is saying they were never really about the externals, any more than animal sacrifices could take away sins. The food laws were meant as a visual aid to illustrate the point that we are unclean before God by nature, and we can't do anything about it. They were meant to point us to the real problem. And that's why in verse 19, by the way, he declares all foods clean. The Christian is no longer under the law of Moses. Why? Because the visual aid has served its purpose. It's no longer necessary now that the Messiah has come, bringing the fulfillment of all of these things. Verse 20. Our hearts are the problem. Just see. It is what comes out of a person that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Now, Jesus isn't talking about the red organ that pumps blood round the body. We might say it's who we are on the inside. It's the real me the real you. We are the problem. Notice the first one in the list there, evil thoughts. I don't think that's an accident, because actually all of these begin as thoughts in the heart. It is our thoughts that make us unclean before God. Think about that for a second. It's our thoughts. Now, all of the rest must begin as thoughts, because they come from within. And it is our thoughts that flow from our hearts that make us unfit for God's presence. The lustful thought that we indulge about someone who's not our spouse. The discontented, greedy desire to have what someone else has. The envy we feel of people on social media or in the office, this person or that, receiving the plaudits. The way we slander people in our thoughts before it ever reaches our mouths. Pride, the way we think so highly of ourselves, more highly of ourselves than of anyone else, and God for that matter. These thoughts make us unclean before God. And if the thoughts, then of course the actions too. But they begin in our hearts. Think about this for a second. I take it just one of these thoughts would make us unclean, unfit to be in the presence of a pure, good, holy God. If one, then what about 10? What about 1,000? What about 100,000? Our hearts are a fountain of evil. That's the point Jesus is making. I don't think it's difficult for us to understand this. Deep down we know it. A child can grasp it. I remember realizing this at a young age, thinking, why am I always so selfish every day? Why can I not seem to do anything about it? If we're honest, we kind of know this is true. And religion offers no solution. Correction. Religion does offer a solution, but it is a useless one. It's an external solution to an internal problem. That is the point that Jesus is making. All of their washings doesn't do anything, like a bandage over leprosy. Actually, you find ritual washing, it's amazing. I looked this up, you find it in every religion, every man-made religion. Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism, every major religion, there's always some kind of ritual washing. Why? Because we know there's a problem. We just don't know where it is. The point Jesus is making is that all the furious washing, it's like the bandage over leprosy. And so Jesus, as the good doctor, the kind saviour, first of all, he takes the bandage off gently and says, let me show you your real disease. One day we will have to stand before the living God in all his holiness and purity and goodness on judgment day and his hatred of evil. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, one of the few who saw a vision of God. Do you know what he did when he saw the vision of God? He cried out, woe is me, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. Well, it's going to be true of all of us unless we find some way to be washed. And the Lord Jesus' intention here is to leave us exposed long enough for us to cry out with Isaiah, woe is me, I'm unclean. I wonder what you think of this. It's a far cry, isn't it, from all the songs of our culture. You know, let me uncover the real me and you'll see that I'm good, or let me be myself and all of that stuff. I could have looked up some songs, I just didn't have the energy, but there's you could listen to any song and it'll be there. It'll be there somewhere. Jesus tells us this so that we despair of ourselves, but not of him. It's hard to accept it, I think, isn't it? I mean, you go back to your colleagues and try and tell them this. See what they think. But this is the frank diagnosis of Jesus. We are not good people. And we cannot stand before a holy God on judgment day, no matter how much religion we have done. Now you've got to think, what do you make of that? That's his diagnosis. What do you think? Only God can deal with our hearts. Will we come to him and not to religion? Well, that's the message of this chapter. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you humbly now as those exposed by your word. And we want to say to you, yes, we do believe that our hearts are evil and we are evil in ourselves by nature and totally unfit to be in your presence by nature, and that we could never wash ourselves. The problem is too deep. We are the problem. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we, though we must despair of ourselves, we don't need to despair because there is a Saviour. And we pray, Father, that it be true of each one of us, that we would not go to religion, that we would run a mile from religion and come instead to the relationship that you have given us, to the Saviour who can wash us through his death. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.